Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's Susan Baracco. Glad to have you guys here. I would love to have you just type in the chat, say hello, make sure that my audio is working. I hope that you can hear me. Happy Thursday. It is Thursday, right? My goodness. And the month of February is flying by. Hey, Allison, thank you. And Beth, hey, how are you? Charlene, John, glad you guys are here. We're going to give other folks just a moment or two to join us. And in the meantime, if you feel like answering our just for fun question, that would be cool. Yeah, hey, Charlene, thank you. Yeah, I forgot. I was not feeling that great. I actually, thank you. I am finally feeling better. This was just some kind of virus or something that would not let go. So I have to resort to medication, and that's no fun, but you know, it worked. So thanks for asking. I forgot. Yeah, 2 weeks. It took me quite a while to kick this one. So if you're up to it and you want to share a little about yourself, I'd love to have you answer our just for fun question today. What's your strongest personality trait? I find this is kind of a fun thing because we never really get to see each other. You know, we interact so much online. That's kind of fun to just get to know people this way a little bit. So I tend to be... outspoken is probably my strongest personality trait. I tend to be outspoken. But I also like, I enjoy a bit of humor too. So I have a funny bone part of me as well. So those are probably the two strongest for me. But Charlene says, I find humor a great way to handle various situations. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I really try to enjoy and joke around in my work. I try to really just have some fun and I find it helps people to relax when you can add some humor into things. Allison, persistence. Hey, good for you. Gosh, that's a great personality trait. Good for you. Wonderful. Well, Crystal has joined us. Hello there, Daniel. Hi there. Glad you guys are here. Good, good. I'm going to dive in. I'm not sure. I think some of you are fairly new, but I think a few of you have been on the call before. What we do is I go through a couple of different questions, and then we dive into our question and answer segment of the call. So I hope that you came ready. One of the things that I always want to encourage everyone to do is participate, participate, participate. Share your thoughts in the chat. Don't hesitate to ask questions, even if you think your question might be silly or, you know, not that important or something. There's no bad questions. You're all learning and you're all in the same place. So don't feel intimidated by your desire to ask a question, but, you know, feeling like, geez, maybe it's not a great question or whatever. Don't worry about it. Put it out there, because I can guarantee you that someone else on the call or someone listening to the recording at some point is probably grappling with the same kind of question that you might have. So I want to encourage you to participate. I'm going to dive into my first question for you folks. And what I like to do, what we start with, is to share a win, big or small. So in the chat, if you would type in a capital W, just so that I know that that's what you're sharing. And it doesn't matter what kind of a win it is. It could be something really, really simple and small. just share it so that we can all celebrate with you together. If you've made progress, if you've completed one of the modules, if you've, you know, gotten maybe sent out your first warm email, I don't know. There's lots of things that, even if you only sent one, that's a win. That's a win in my book. So feel free to share anything that might be a win that you've experienced in the last week or so, maybe since the last time we had our call. All right. Hey, Daniel. Daniel said, I submitted my first ever paid piece of copy this week to a client and he loved it. He even used the word love. Woo, woo. That's a huge win. That's fantastic. Oh, I'm so excited. And I think, Daniel, you are in fitness, right? Is that, if I'm remembering correctly. So that's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome, Daniel. Great, great, great news to report. That's really cool. I'd love to hear more about your client too, because I think you had some other people that were, I think I shared a couple of ideas about how to reach out through a referral, a connector of yours. You were looking for different ideas of ways to approach people that he knew. So just let me know if that's who that was. It was one of those connections for you. Charlene says she sent out 20 warm emails and finished session 7. Woo! Congratulations. Way to get through the program. That's one of the things, if I can encourage everyone on the call, is to just keep moving forward with the sessions and get through the program. This is such a great program. There's so much good information in here. Ed's done a terrific job of pulling the details that you need right now together in this program. And so work your way through the program, even if you're taking small steps. A lot of folks on the call and in the program are working full time while they're trying to get this launched, things like that. Just keep making progress. And, little at a time is fine. Small steps are still steps in my book. And so just keep moving forward. So that's actually a big win, Charlene. Good for you. Crystal says, back on a live call after being unable to attend the last two. Welcome back. And I think you were ill, if I remember correctly. I think I remember seeing something like that. I think it was health issues. So welcome back. Glad you're here. And this is a win. And I hope you're ready with some questions. Allison says she submitted her first blog post for a client. He likes it and asked me to write more. Congratulations. That's awesome. Is that paid work also? Just curious, Allison, if that's something that might turn into maybe a ongoing thing. Sounds like it's got potential there. Yes, it's paid. Awesome. Congratulations. All right. All right, so Beth, a win, she says, kind of. I had a recruiter for Deloitte reach out to me to discuss a retainer. He went quiet after a few emails back and forth. In the end, I'm not sure he was legit. His email address, I realized later, was a Gmail, a personal rather than the company he claimed to work for. So nice to get a bite. I agree. Nice to get somebody interested. So you're saying or doing something that's getting attention. So stick with it, Beth. Congrats. That's great. Good stuff. All right. Let's just see. I am going to move on. So the next question that I have for all of you who are on the call today is, what material are you implementing? And this could be anywhere from what module you're in the program. That's helpful for me to know. Also, maybe you're trying, maybe you're implementing, you know, you're sending out warm emails. Maybe you're reaching out to your network. Maybe there's different steps that you're doing. Maybe you're already in talks with a potential client. You're doing the wishbone technique where you're, you know, qualifying a new client or a prospect. So just let me know, give me an idea of where you are in the program and what you're implementing right now. And that'll help me as far as we move forward through the call today. All right. Anybody have some feedback for me here on what you're working on right now? I'm not sure if anybody, how new, it's helpful for me to understand too, as far as how, where you are in the program. In other words, are you just like session one, session two versus more towards the end, like eight or nine, like seven or eight, there's only eight modules. So, Charlene says sending out more emails, mostly finished with personal networks. So ready to start reaching out to companies and ready to start session eight. Rolling right along. Good for you. Good for you. Yeah, I see, you know, I've been working with Ed, partnering with him for a couple of years now, actually, and helping him to run this particular program. And I see so many people who come in and get started and they're excited, and then they kind of trail off for whatever reason. Sometimes life gets in the way. Maybe they're working full time. Different things kind of can get in your way when you're trying to get through this program. Sometimes they get distracted. I've seen times when people come in and say, oh, well, I found this other program. Now I'm taking this. And geez, I'm going to start, you know, a third. And that shiny object syndrome kind of pops in and they start jumping around to different programs. Take your time, you get through this program. That's the best advice I can give you is, you know, make sure you complete it. Go start to finish. It's so worth it. There's so much good information in this program that you can't really get too many other places. Not certainly in the way that it's presented and the value that you get out of it. So, all right, Beth, hold on. Daniel says, still in session five, prospecting, but I've had to slow down my pace while I'm busy with a big project. More on that in my questions later. Great. Look forward to hearing about it. Beth said she's getting up the courage to begin the warm email prospecting process. Not sure why this is feeling so intimidating. Yeah, it is. It absolutely is intimidating. Very hard to hit send for that first time around. I absolutely understand. I did the same thing, especially when I was reaching out to my network. That was so intimidating for me. I was scared to pieces to hit send. I don't know if some of you, I've told this story many times before, but it's just such a funny story. To me, I always laugh at myself because I remember I was in a program, one of Ed's programs, not this one, but a different one, a couple of years back. And he recommended, you know, reach out to your network. There's some real gold nuggets out there. There's good stuff. It's worth doing. And I put the email together and I went to hit send and I like jumped up and ran away from my computer. I was just scared to pieces. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. I can't do this. And I did, I went through this process like two or three times where I sat down. And I'm like, okay, I read the email again, make sure I'm happy with it. And then I got up and ran away. I was scared. I was really scared. It was funny because then I sat back and thought, you know, I'm a grown woman. It's really okay for me to reach out to people that I know, but some I hadn't talked to in years and I just felt really scared to do it. And then I finally hit send, sent it out. And I ended up getting, connecting with someone I hadn't talked to in 6 years. They were thrilled to death that I sent them the email, thrilled to pieces and said, we have a project for you. That turned into one of the biggest projects I worked on early in my copywriting career. It turned out to be something a little different than what I was expecting. It started out copywriting and it morphed into some other things, but I was, that was like a, it turned into a $40,000 a year project for 2 years. And when I sit back and think about that, I think, and I was scared to hit send to go after a $40,000 project. Are you kidding me? That was, you know, what was I, you know, I wasn't thinking, I was just so busy being scared that I didn't want to send the email. So I share that with you because been there, done that. I know how uncomfortable that really is. So Beth, go for it. You never know what kind of business is out there. Crystal says she's reaching out to a new segment of my niche via warm emails, researching these companies. Great. Daniel is copywriting. Okay. That's going to have some questions about your project. Allison said, I've tapped my network, so trying to send out letters of introduction, but finding it hard going. Maybe Allison, ask a question about that. I'd like to hear a little bit more about, you know, what's kind of tripping you up. Yeah, Daniel, great reframe. These could be $40,000 emails we're sending. Absolutely. I had no idea. I certainly didn't expect that. And granted, it didn't start out that way. I actually started working on, they had me helping to rewrite rewrite LinkedIn profiles for senior executives in the financial industry, which is my client. That's the industry that they focused on. So they brought me in to do the writing. And it was really a lot of fun in the beginning. And it was a great experience. And then I started, then they kind of morphed into a much bigger project that I was involved in. I did a lot of travel for them, but it started out small, but it was a great project and ended up lasting over 2 years. So it was about 2.5 years I worked for them. They were like my anchor client. They were turned out to be one of my biggest and best clients. And then their contract ended with the organization, very big company, a national company. And when that ended, things died down, but it was just such a great opportunity. Never would have gotten it if I hadn't sent that silly email. Just hit send. Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing, guys. Awesome. Awesome. So we've got some good things going on out there. So I want to dive into the question and answer segment of our call today. And what I would love for you to do is type in the chat with a capital Q so that I don't miss it. If people start, you know, there's a fair number of you on the call today. So I don't want to miss any of you in that sense. And so keep your question focused and as specific as possible so that I can understand it. If need be, I'll unmute you and we can get into details if I need more clarification. One question per person at a time, and then we'll most likely have time, but I'll come back around. So I want to hit everyone first time, their first set of questions. If applicable, tell me what you're thinking about. Tell me what you're considering in terms of some solutions or options for what you're facing. So I'll give you just a moment to type in some questions and we'll get rolling. All right, quiet out there. Anybody have a question they'd like some help with, anything? All right, Charlene, hey, thanks for the question. She's starting first, and her question is, she says, I know you're the LinkedIn guru, sort of. For some reason, I'm finding it confusing to know what parameters are for sending messages on the free account. Is there an easy answer? Yes, there is a fairly easy answer. The free account, I believe there's a limit. Even like with the paid account, I know the limit is like 15 a month or something. It's fairly low, depending on which level of paid account you have. But I'm assuming that you're sending, what you mean by sending messages is what they call their in-mail. So it's literally like a text message. Yeah. Okay. My understanding is that with a free account, you cannot send any. At least that was what I thought in regards to a free account. I have a paid account. I have like the first level up. It's like a premium account or something like that, premium business account. And I can send 15 in-mails to people that I am not a first level connection to, but I'm limited to 15 a month. I believe with a free account, I don't know if you can send any. So one thing you could consider, Charlene, is signing up for a paid account. And because the first month is free, you do have to put in a credit card number, but they notify you when your 30 days is up. And I have done this a couple of times, actually, over the course of a couple of years, is I'll sign up, use it for free for a month, and see if it's going to be of value. And it's just an opportunity for you to evaluate the the tool before you invest. The other thing you can do, they used to do month to month. I'm not 100% sure they're actually still doing that. I think they automatically charge you for a year at a time, because the other option would be to go month to month and use it again. If a month isn't enough, you want to try it, see if you can get some response, see if it works the way you want it to or you're expecting, and then decide whether or not you want to invest. Personally, I think that LinkedIn is probably one of the best tools out there for connecting with potential clients and for finding business. And so it's worth the investment for me personally. I get great exposure there. I get great, you know, I get a chance to see the people that I want to see and you know, network with them online and so forth. It really depends ultimately on whether or not it's in line with where your business is coming from. If it's a tool that you think you're going to use, then it's worth it. I look at it as the same as investing in a good website. For me, it's part of my presence online. If I didn't have a good website, it would reflect on me and it would make it more difficult for me to bring business in the door. So, and not that your website has to be perfect, but it's got to be good. It's got to be professional and it's got to, you know, offer a really strong message. So LinkedIn is just another one of those business tools that I personally am happy to pay for. It's something that's just part of my marketing expenses. So yes, I would say try a free account. The next level up, a paid account for the 30-day free trial and see what you think. See if it's worth it. If you find that you're getting good response and it might pay for itself. That's, you know, in my case, LinkedIn more than pays for itself in terms of me being able to connect with the right people and bring business in the door. So, but that's really depends on your industry, who you're looking to call on and that kind of thing. Some industries, there are some industries like, you know, automotive repair shops probably aren't going to have a LinkedIn profile. They're probably not going to be on LinkedIn. They might be on Facebook. They're not going to be on LinkedIn. So you kind of have to decide depending on who you're calling on, whether or not it's the right thing. But my understanding is that you cannot send any with a free account. And if you have a free account right now, you can just try it, see how that works. But I'm pretty sure that the answer is there's no availability for that at the free level. All right. Daniel, you're up next. Thanks for that. Daniel says my connector friend was helpful and it led to me setting up an introductory get to know each other call this Friday with a gym owner. But it's not a full-blown discovery call. How do I maximize this opportunity so that it leads to a discovery call with the prospect? If this is answered in later modules, there's information in later modules on the wishbone technique and, you know, how to, hold on, let me just tell you after email prospecting. So session 6 has the wishbone screening technique, and that is something that helps you to determine, is this a quality lead or not? Are they a fit? And so that's why I referenced the wishbone screening technique. It's pretty cool. Let me just see. I'm just looking to see, Daniel. I don't remember where you were. Still in session 5. Okay, so you've got one more to go. And let me just see. Call this Friday with a gym owner. So that would be tomorrow. You probably can't get through session 5 by tomorrow. But what I would do is really go into this very low key. This is what I would recommend, Daniel, is to just kind of go in and say, tell me about your business. Tell me what you're struggling with. Tell me what your goals are. Really ask a lot of questions because that helps to build rapport. And maybe the other thing that I do, especially in an introductory call, is I do some coaching. I dive right in and I'll do a little strategy coaching and I'll say, sounds like you could use this. Have you thought about that? Or have you tried this? Or what else have you tried? And, you know, I really try to add a lot of value. And yes, I give a lot away in that first call because that really does make a difference. And I do that with my clients, which are very different than the kinds of folks that you know, the kinds of people that you're connecting with and trying to bring on as a client. You know, I'm doing very different work for my clients, but I still approach it. That's the way I've been approaching it since I started copywriting all the way to today. And that was something that, you know, Ed really is a proponent of: bring lots of value, be that consultant and not the writer. And so that's what I would recommend, is that you kind of put your consulting hat on and say, how can I help this person? What could they do with or without me that would make their lives better, that make their business better? It's okay. You know, if I can tell you that I always, you know, for me, it's about giving a lot away, probably more than I should at times, but I don't think that's ever, I've never been sorry for that. You know, it's, I believe that the right clients come to you, you know, that they find you. And when you're really trying to help somebody like this, yeah, really go into it with a very, how can I help you? What are you struggling with? How can I help? Or, you know, what do you wish you knew? What do you wish you had at your fingertips? What would be a great solution for you? And then, you know, help assess a little bit and say, okay. The other thing you can offer, Daniel, is to, once you've had the conversation, say, you know what, Mr. or Miss Gym Owner, why don't I take a look at your website? I'll make some notes and I'll give you a free assessment, just a brief assessment of some things that I think you might be able to do better. Would that be helpful? And then that'll open the door to you, to the two of you getting back together. So let me take a look at your website. I'm gonna do a brief assessment, just see what you've got and see if there's anything that really stands out for me that I think you could change up and maybe try some different things. I'll give you some ideas. And then let's get back together so I can explain to you what I found. So it's a great way to then bring that back around to, we're not done here. I'm going to give you something for free, no strings attached. I'll just, you know, share my thoughts, share what I think, where you could maybe make some tweaks and changes. And make it, an important thing here is to make it not overwhelming for them. In other words, geez, you need to overhaul your whole website because it stinks. You might go to their website and find that that's the case, but what I would recommend is that you softball that a little bit and just help them to say, you know, I've got some ideas. There's a couple different ways you could do things. You know, at the low end, you could tweak this, you know, A, B, and C. All the way to the other end, you might want to consider rewriting your whole, you know, landing page or whatever. You know, you might want to try a different approach with this or that, and give them some real value for free. And, you know, it'll give you a chance to then, like I said, come back around. Hey, you know what, once I have a chance to look at it, let's jump on another call for a few minutes so I can walk you through what I see and answer your questions. And that way it gets you back on the call. And by then, hopefully you'll get into that session six, you'll have time to do the look at the wishbone screening technique that'll help you to determine, is this person, is this a good fit for me? So I hope that helps. All right. So Allison, I see your comment there. You can only have a free trial of either Premium or Sales Navigator, correct? Sales Navigator is, and you also made a comment, it's better for searching for companies. To a certain degree, that's true. But it's also works a little bit more. Sales Navigator works a little bit more like a CRM tool. And by that, I mean that you can create lead lists within LinkedIn. So let's say there's a particular industry or a particular size of company. So I can pull the companies into a list. And then from the companies, I can start pulling information about, all right, who's the marketing director or who's the creative director or who's, you know, my target, the person that I want to call on within that company. So you can have multiple lists and you can have company lists, but you can also have people lists of you know, target contacts, people that you want to reach out to. Sales Navigator is pretty robust. It's pretty interesting, and there's a lot to it. So it's a sale. It literally is a sales tool and a CRM tool for you, so that you can see who to contact if they've put something out there. Even if you're not connected to them directly, like on a first level, If there's news about them, there's any new updates, Sales Navigator will send you that information. Once you add them to a leads list, it'll start sending you information about these people. So it's kind of a cool tool. Might be worth checking that out. But both of those, I think premium is what I have. And I think I have 15 in-mails per month to people that I am not directly connected to, second or third level connections. And Sales Navigator might be a little bit more. It might be like 20 in-mails a month or something like that. All right. Daniel. Thanks. Good. I'm glad that was helpful. You said you took a lot of notes on what I was explaining. I hope so. Glad that was helpful. Let me see. All right, Crystal, you're up next. Any additional tips, tricks, or suggestions we haven't covered yet for identifying the best person to send warm emails to? Would HR recruiting ever be appropriate? So I would say, Crystal, probably not HR or recruiting. And I don't know what industry it is that you're focused on. As a matter of fact, hold on a minute. If you can speak, I'd love to unmute you and just have you give me a little bit of background about this so I understand what industry you're focused on. Hey there, Crystal. Are you there?
Hey, can you hear me?
I can. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. So tell me a
little bit. Thanks for answering my question.
Yeah, no problem. Tell me a little bit about the industry or industries that you're targeting?
Well, my niche is finance or personal finance, and that's very wide.
Yes.
So I've been focusing my next group of warm emails on specifically credit unions, midsize.
Ah, okay.
And they're kind of all over the place as far as their marketing departments go.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
so, right. So, you know, I may be sending an email to a VP of marketing, then I may have... I have run into a couple that had people with editorial in the title. So I was just kind of looking for any tweaks that kind of save time because it can be very time consuming trying to figure out exactly who I should target. And I definitely want to make the best use of that time and get it off to the right person.
Yeah, no, understood. Understood. And so with credit unions, they are so, they're so unique in the way that they do business, the way they're run. And they are all over the place in terms of size and also in terms of sophistication, I have noticed. And so some are less sophisticated than others, less interested, you know, would be less interested in spending any money on marketing necessarily. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, I would shoot for the top and work my way down. In that sense, especially with credit unions, because you just never know. Some of them are less sophisticated, or maybe just getting into the whole marketing groove, like didn't really have a marketing thing, but now are realizing, gosh, we're behind the eight ball. We need to start marketing ourselves more effectively. So the marketing hot potato gets tossed around in terms of, oh, I guess I'm in charge of marketing this week or this month. So, but HR and recruiting probably wouldn't have a hand in it. They'd probably be the last on the list, most likely. I would go more for that VP level and continue to focus there. If there's a VP of sales, you know, VP of, development, any kind of business development, that would be someone who has that role or client relationships. What do they call their member? Right? I think you're a member of a credit union. So member relationship development or anything like that. Anything that's more
customer
of a sales
engagement. Possibly.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Focus on people who have more of a sales role and they'll be able to, at the very least, say, oh, it's not me, but you got to talk to Joe. You know, Joe's the guy. He's the person you should be connecting to. So, but the salespeople are going to be very interested in that. And that's why I suggest that, you know, it's oftentimes that I've talked with sales teams or you know, come across a sales manager that said, oh my gosh, yes, please, if you could talk to Harry, because our marketing stinks and we really need help. You know, they're really ready. The sales team is usually pretty hungry for better marketing materials. And usually pretty willing to help you make that connection. So that would be my suggestion for you with,
and great, thank you.
You know, and that goes for any of the financial, anything within that financial, under that financial umbrella, and any kind of company, whether it's credit union or something different.
Great.
Awesome. All right. Well, good luck. Good luck with
that.
Thank you. You're welcome. Great question. Yeah, it's funny. Sometimes hard to know who to knock, whose door to knock on, right? And where to send that. And salespeople are used to getting emails. They're used to sending emails. They understand the whole thing, right? Because this is a sales process that you're, this prospecting is a sales process. So they understand it. Some will ignore it. Some will jump right on it. So it's, you know, it's a little bit of trial and error there too, Crystal, for that. All right. Beth, you're up next. Beth says, as I mentioned, the lead I had last week went quiet and I'm not sure if it was really even legit. I haven't tried following up even just to say, keep me in mind, let's discuss. Generally speaking, is it worth it with a recruiting firm, third party? I'd rather connect and follow up with the actual marketing team, but I didn't get past the recruiter. Thoughts on how best to treat the third party as a prospect? Really great question. If this person is a recruiter, so my first thought when I think about what we do as copywriters is, you know, I talk a lot about encouraging you to think of yourself as a consultant. And I mean that. That's, don't think of yourself as a writer. I'm not cranking out, you know, 500 word articles. I'm going to consult and help you understand and help to develop a 500 word article that's going to really fit with your marketing and fit in well and actually do something for you as opposed to just cranking out articles. So I would encourage you to kind of be thinking about that. So my question for you in regards to this, to back to you, is the recruiter someone that you want to develop a relationship with? Is it really important in the scheme of things? That recruiter has a different agenda than you do in terms of, you know, if it's truly a recruiter and they're just looking to find a resource to plug in so they can get paid, you know, they may or may not be as invested. They may or may not be a great place for you to spend a lot of time. If you've reached out to them a couple of times and they haven't responded, I'd let it rest for a little bit and maybe look closer at the company itself that this recruiter was supposedly representing and see if you can make some connections there. I'd suggest you go directly to the company itself and see if you can find the right, you know, a marketing manager or marketing VP or director or something like that, and see if you can make some connections there. Poke around, see what you can do, and don't be afraid to use LinkedIn to let people see that you looked at their profile. Make sure that your LinkedIn profile is set to open, so that if you looked at my profile, I would then receive a notice saying, hey, these are the views you got and these are the people that looked at you. Because I want to be able to see, you want them to be able to see you. You want them to see your name and the fact that you're a copywriter. Because if they're looking for a copywriter, they're going to, that might spark them to reach out to you. So don't be shy about letting people see that you're looking at their profile. So, in regards to the recruiter, I would kind of put that on the back burner and use it maybe as something to follow up with a little bit later on, but to really focus directly on the company. I think you'll get further because this is all about building relationships with people. And so you really want to kind of go right to the source and really try to start working with you know, with the direct, because then if you reach out, let's say, for example, you reach out to someone in management and marketing and they actually respond, they might respond and say, you know, we're working with a recruiter. Here's the guy's name. Why don't you, you know, please touch base with him. So now you've got your answer. They're working, you know, they've hired the recruiter. They only, this person is, you know, outsourced that particular task. So now that changes the way that you look at the recruiter. So now you're going to come back and say, all right, well, if they're really invested in using the recruiter, then I'm going to renew my attempts to build a relationship with that person, but you kind of want to scope that out a little bit first so that you know where to spend your time and where to invest your effort. So be thinking about it strategically. I hope that was helpful. Awesome, awesome. All right. So Allison, you're up next. Question, issues with finding prospects to send letters of introduction to. I spent ages, too long, trying to decide if it's a good prospect than finding email addresses. If I can't find an email address, do you think it's okay to send a letter as part of a LinkedIn connection request? All right, so I would not send a letter as part of a LinkedIn connection request. Definitely not. I think that's too... That would be too soon. That would be a little, it feels a little aggressive to me. I would definitely have, I would definitely recommend that you put, you know, you do your LinkedIn invitation request or your invitation to connect. Make that as soft as possible in the sense of, hey, I saw the article that you posted, or something along those lines, you know, so make that connection. If you haven't gotten to session 5 in the program yet, in session 5, I've done a couple of LinkedIn trainings with a lot of just introducing you to LinkedIn, how it works and how to use it and things like that. Also, you know, details about the best way to invite, you know, to make it to a cold invite, which is quite literally what you're doing. And I would definitely recommend that you take the time because they're not super long. I think Ed broke them down into 2. And so I think they're just like a half an hour a piece or something like that. Quick and easy, helps you to really understand the tool and the best way to reach out to someone. So from a connection request perspective, keep that as, I say something along the lines of, I see that you and I both are connected to Sally. And I thought that we'd benefit from being connected as well. Thank you. Well, that's it. I mean, I keep it really, like, I don't do anything in the invite except saying, here's why. I want the person I'm inviting to recognize the reason for my invitation. So when I get, because, you know, it's hysterical to me. I get these invites. I'd like to join your network. And I look at the name, I look at the face, and I'm like, I have no idea who this person is. I've obviously never, you know, they're from India or whatever, or, you know, or someplace, you know, far afield from me. I have no idea who they are. You're not helping me by sending me an invite saying, hey, I'd like to join your network. Yeah, why? That's my first question. Like, why are you bothering me? So what I would recommend, and that's what I recommend in the training, is have your connection request be, we have this in common, we have this connection point, and I think we'd benefit from being connected as well. Sometimes I'll send out, I do this too, where I'll send out, I'll look for my target audience, I'll look for someone in my target audience, and I'll find someone and I'll realize, oh my gosh, we have 30 connections in common. How cool is that? So I use that as my connection point. Hey, Sally, I see that you and I have quite a few mutual connections. I think we'd benefit from being connected as well. And I send that. This is just, it's just an open invitation. Hey, I'd love to be connected to you. And here's why. Explain why. Because, you know, otherwise, if you don't take the time to customize that, people are just going to blow you off. I blow off the people who, unless it's somebody that I met at an event recently or something, I recognize the face. Oh yeah, it's so-and-so. And I just say, yes, I'm very discerning. And so I also want to be discerning in reverse. So when I'm inviting somebody, I make sure that it's that they see like, oh, I'm not just going to turn into some spammer who's going to drive them crazy. And then once they accept my invite, then I always send a thank you. Hey, thank you for connecting with me, and feel free to reach out if there's anything I can help you with. If there's any way that I can be of help to you. Period. That's my invitation sequence of, I do the soft invite. Once they accept, I do the soft thank you. Just thanks for connecting. Please contact me if I can be of help in any way. If there's anything that I can do for you. And then you start building the relationship from there. So you want to slow down to speed up. And so letter of introduction, I wouldn't necessarily connect. This is a long answer to a short question, but I wouldn't connect that. It just feels to me like it would be too soon. We're building a relationship here. And once you get connected on LinkedIn, then you can turn around and you'll have their email address at that point. You'll have any email address for them, whether it's business or not. But you'll be able to then start sending warm emails after that. And I'd recommend, you know, waiting a few days, just and maybe your first email, warm email to them to say, thanks again for connecting with me on LinkedIn. I found this article. I thought you'd find it really helpful. And take care, you know, that kind of thing. So again, starting slow, we're building relationship. We're starting to get these people to just like, oh, that's nice. Or make a comment on an article that they posted. Just, you know, if there's something that they shared or posted, hey, I really liked that article that you sent out. It was very helpful. You know, something along those lines. So you really just want to build relationship. And so that's in regards to the LinkedIn connection part. I think that as far as deciding if it's a good prospect or not, and then finding email addresses, yes, this can be time consuming. And so a couple of things that I would recommend, Allison, that you think about is maybe back up a little bit and look at, okay, so here's my industry. So we'll use finance because I was just talking with Crystal about finance. So let's imagine that you're calling in the financial industry. So what I would do is break down your target audience into buckets. So it might be companies that are startups or companies that are really small, maybe solopreneurs, maybe up to 5 employees. You know what? I'm gonna reach out to a couple of them because I'm probably going to get some business out of them. If I'm just getting started and they don't have a huge budget, I'm going to be willing to do some, maybe not pro bono work, maybe some pro bono work to get some experience and to get some samples, or I'd be willing to work for a little bit less so that I can start getting some momentum. And then I've got a bucket that's mid-sized companies, maybe 50 employees to 200 employees. And that's, so, you know, I want to reach out to at least 3 or 4 of those a week or 3 or 4 of those a month, something like that. And then, you know, 500 employees and above or something like that. So you're going to have some buckets of your target audience that help you to just step back and say, okay, it's easier for me to, and sorry, that's one of my dogs barking. But it's easier for me to determine more quickly, like, oh, you know what? I already have a couple of small companies. I'm moving on to my middle range and I want to target a couple of those. So maybe I'm just looking for quickly through LinkedIn. All right, these people have, you know, 300 employees on LinkedIn. All right, they're in this middle bucket for me. All right, I want to dive in there and see what kind of companies I can find. So break it down, you know, and then call on a couple of bigger companies. You know, you want to the bigger ones that have bigger budgets and kind of mix it up. And letters of introduction then can follow there. That might be a warm email that you'd send to, you know, to each one of these. So maybe you're sending out, just mix it up a little bit so that it's, you can very quickly say, all right, I'm only looking for companies that have up to 50 employees right now. That's all I'm focused on right now. Use one parameter to help narrow your focus. And that will help you to not like, oh, they're too big. I'm going to work on them next week. I'm going to do bigger companies next week. I'm just going to focus right now. So you're just narrowing a little more quickly. Or it's a very specific field of practice within finance. So maybe you're just calling on CPAs and CPA firms. Maybe that's it. You know, you just want to be calling on CPA firms. Okay. So that also, all right, CPA firms with up to 50 employees, boom. So now I'm like, I'm going through my list much more. Nope. Too small, too big. Ooh, perfect. Right. Just like the three bears. Goldilocks finding that just right fit for that particular bucket. Okay. I want to find three of these. So be a little bit more thoughtful in terms of just setting some criteria for yourself so that process becomes a little bit easier and hopefully a little less cumbersome and time consuming. So I know quickly, and after doing this for a while, I can tell you that you'll be able to look at a business quickly, either on LinkedIn or even on their own website, and very quickly assess, yeah, these guys are somebody I want to reach out to. You'll get comfortable with it. So just give yourself some time. I hope that helps. All right, Daniel, you're up next. So Daniel asks, how do you balance prospecting time with time needed to deliver copywriting services? Is there a good ratio we should land on once we have multiple clients? I'm struggling to figure out the right balance so I can keep a regular inflow of leads but still have the time to deliver high quality service. And then he has a note at the end, I only have one client right now, but the project is so big it's eating into my marketing time. Congratulations, Daniel, that is an awesome problem to have. So good for you. And congrats on this client and a big project. That's just, it's all good, right? So it's a good problem to have. This is common. I see this, we see this a lot. I actually have a couple of different programs that I support for Ed and people in varying stages of their business, of their businesses, their writing business and their growth. So we see this a lot, and this is a great question. It comes up often. It's like, nothing scares me more than someone who says, oh, I've put prospecting aside. Because I can tell you that, you know, I told the story at the beginning of the call about this, you know, sending, being afraid to send the email, finally hitting send, and then getting this fantastic contract. It was a fantastic contract and a fantastic project for only 2 years. It was really easy to get comfortable and to not prospect in those 2 years. Cause I was like, yeah, you know, they already got good for the year. I know I'm set. They want me the whole year for all this work. I'm good. Right. We would contract it in advance. It's really, really tempting to get comfortable. But the fact is, as I started to, I got like to 6 months left of that second year, I knew they weren't going to renew for a third year because their contract didn't renew with their client. And I thought, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. I got to get my act together. So I think that it's really tempting to let the big projects, you know, come first. And so what I suggest that you do is scale back your prospecting to something that you absolutely know that you can do. And what I would recommend is for you to do small blocks of time a couple times a week. So let's say that you're going to prospect, you'd like to prospect a half an hour on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Half an hour each day. It's an hour and a half. Whatever you can fit in that half an hour, that's what you do and that's it. And then you move on to your other work. Or maybe it's an hour a day. Maybe you want to have no fewer than 3 hours a week. That's something that is doable that you know you can do. Maybe you do it at the first thing in the morning just to get it out of the way. And then you spend the rest of the day working on your project. You don't have to devote a half a day to prospecting, but you do want to devote time and you want to break it down and spread it out over a couple of days so that you're still giving, you still have plenty of quality time to work on your project. So it's very doable. And I often tell people, you know, if you're so busy, maybe you get down to, it's only 15 minutes, 3 days a week. Sometimes that's enough, but you don't want to stop altogether. The other thing might be to do either set a time limit for yourself, set some kind of a time goal, like a half an hour a day or a half an hour, 3 days a week, something like that, and build that into your calendar and your schedule, or you set a number of touches. So I'm going to send out 10 warm emails a week. I'm going to continue to commit. That might take you a half an hour. It might take you an hour. It really depends. However long it takes, you know, I just want to make sure that by the end of the week, I've sent out 10, something like that. So there's ways to do it. Maybe it's a combination of the two. Maybe I spend a half an hour and I send out at least three, emails in that half an hour, or at least five, something like that. So that by the end of the week, you've got 15 emails that you've sent out. And it, whether it's prospecting, whether it's follow-up, whether it's nurturing, you know, somebody that was not yet ready or something like that. But make sure that you mix in even a small amount. There have been times in my business when I've been so busy, I've had so many projects that I just couldn't get to the prospecting during the week. So I would pick either Saturday morning or Sunday afternoon, and I'd spend an hour at my desk in my office, and I'd prospect. I make sure that I followed up, make sure that I spent some time on LinkedIn, and you know, that kind of thing. So very doable, but it's a matter of fitting it in when you have to, you know, and making sure that you don't make it overwhelming, because what ends up happening, and I know exactly how this can happen, is you've got a lot of work. It's good paying work. You really want to get it done. You want to do a great job. It's important. And prospecting just doesn't seem like you're not into it, or it's, you know, it just doesn't seem that important. But I can tell you that when the project you're working on ends, it's frightening to go from money to zero, you know, from revenue to no revenue. It can happen pretty quickly. So you don't want to have that happen. Keep it small. Don't let the project, you want to find the amount of time that works for you personally that keeps you from feeling overwhelmed. It's a balance of, I'm not feeling overwhelmed, but I'm feeling confident that I'm continuing to prospect. It's just that right fit of, you know what, half an hour, 3 days a week, I can do that. That's, I feel good that I'm making progress, continuing that good habit, but I also don't feel like it's sucking the life out of me and I'm spending hours and hours and I'm exhausted and I'm sitting at my desk till 10 o'clock at night, or, you know, we don't want to go there. We really want to be careful about managing. You do want to be careful about managing your time and your energy so that you're giving your best to your client. It's really important to do that. So keep it small and manageable so that you feel satisfied, that there's a mental, that intellectual kind of satisfaction, if you will, and release, like, ooh, okay, got my prospecting in, I'm happy, and I did a great job for my client working on the project. So it's finding that balance that works for you. Awesome. You're very welcome, Daniel. Good, good. Great questions today, guys. Really great. Lots of good questions. Daniel's a little further ahead because he's got the, he's already got this project, but some other really great questions too about prospecting and fitting it in. I want to just pause for a moment. If you haven't had a chance to share in the chat, just let me know what's been valuable so far that we've talked about. We talked about, you know, spending time researching, how to focus your prospecting within your niche or your target audience, how to respond to a recruiter. We talked a bit about that. That was great. Some good questions. Really good stuff. Is there anything in particular that stood out so far that's been the most helpful for you? All right. Beth said, turning off the anonymous profile while surfing LinkedIn. Absolutely. I think of LinkedIn as my mini website. I want people to come and look at me. I want people to see me. I want them to see my activity and that I've looked at them. And, you know, there's a reason why I go and a lot of people feel like it's stalking. Yeah, it is. But it's on LinkedIn. That's what is done. And so when I see someone anonymous looking at me, it just irritates me. It's like, really, this is LinkedIn. This is like, in my mind, I equate LinkedIn to as a giant networking event. So would I want to go to a giant networking event and go stand behind a bush, you know, a fake bush in so that no one can see me and I'm just like peering out through the leaves? Really? How on earth is that going to be of any value to me if I'm hiding behind a bush at a networking event where no one can see me? That's kind of silly. You want to get out there, you're shaking hands, you're introducing yourself, you're handing out your business card. That's why you go to networking events. That's why you go to LinkedIn, is so that people can see you and that they get to know you and that you're kind of putting yourself out there. It's a place where you should be doing that. So check your profile, make sure that your visibility is fully open, because you want people to be able to see you. And you, and LinkedIn also is reciprocal. So if you limit what people can see, LinkedIn will limit what you can see as a result. So they match visibility for you. And so if you're wide open, they're going to show you more when you're searching. So just keep that in mind too. Bit of a detail, a little more technical detail there, but it's true. Allison said, be a consultant, not a writer. Absolutely. Consultant first, writer second. A consultant who writes is a great way to think of yourself. Yeah. You bring a lot to the table. And I think people tend to forget that. That just, maybe it's your years in business. Maybe it's your years in a particular industry. Maybe it's the different types of roles you've held in over your career that have brought you to a place where you're bringing some extra value. It's not just that you're a good writer. It's because you know stuff too. You can advise people. And depending on the size company that you're calling on and targeting, sophistication is an issue. Some companies are not very sophisticated when it comes to marketing. They need your help. They need your consulting help. And it's a great way to build rapport and get your foot in the door. Charlene says, though I haven't gotten a client of any kind yet, I'm encouraged by listening to others and their questions about clients, scoring away nuggets being shared for future use. Great. Great, great, great. All right. Allison, I saw you had a question too. You're up next. She says, now that I have a client, I'm feeling unsure about whether to contact companies who are in the same sector. They haven't asked me not to, but I'm not sure if that's okay. Any advice? You know, this is an interesting question. Comes up a lot. And I'm going to say, quite honestly, it depends. So, for example, if I was writing for a CPA, I'll continue with that example. And so if it was someone right here locally, I may or may not want to write for another CPA right here locally, you know, or for maybe two attorneys who are practicing in the same, have maybe, you know, they target elderly or something like that. Maybe they're going to do elder law and that kind of thing. Would I want to write for both of them? Maybe not. I think it would be hard if they were literally geographically near each other. That would be a challenge. If you are targeting other companies in that same industry, I honestly don't see it as a problem unless they happen to be in the same market. Because most of us are doing business on at least a national level these days, because of the internet, you can kind of work with anyone anywhere. Not as much of a concern. And I think that it's a matter of, I wouldn't worry about it. Because it's something that, like with Daniel, for example, Daniel's working in the fitness industry. So he's going to be calling on gym owners. That's, you know, and so unless they happen to be across the street from each other, he may or may not want to work with someone who's, you know, that geographically close. But if you're calling on people that, you know, are in different parts of the country, it's not as big of a deal. So that's one way to think about it. I wouldn't worry so much about a competitive company. You're going to be focused on working with companies in the same sector. That's because that's your niche. That's your target audience. So you're going, it's just the nature of the beast. I think that if they don't bring it up, then it's not something to be too concerned about. It depends too on your target audience. If you are in a super competitive industry, that's a different story. And that's something you have to be mindful of. But if you're not in a super competitive, CPAs are, and even attorneys are a reasonably good example. They're not highly competitive. Yes, there are lots of attorneys. Yes, there are lots of CPAs, but they're not competitive in nature necessarily that way. They aren't literally out there trying to win big contracts over each other. If you have two companies that are bidding on the same project, that's a problem, right? You don't want to be writing for both companies that are bidding on one major contract or that close, you know, like construction, as an example, construction companies, you may have two competing, that you're not going to want to do that. That would not be necessarily a good practice. So if your industry isn't doing that kind of thing where they're bidding on common projects, then it's probably not that big of an issue. If you suspect that it is, it's always worth bringing it up. By the way, just to let you know, I do work with companies in the same space. It's an advantage for me because I get to know this industry very well. I get to know what your needs are. So it's a value that you bring by working for the same type of company over and over again. You get to know the industry really well, really well. But if they have a concern about it, I would think they would bring it up right away. If you have a concern about it, then I would definitely, if you get to a point where you now have a second client in that same sector, then I would make it known to both. Just, by the way, I am working with another client, but I'm working with them on a different type of project or whatever the case may be. And just want, you know, full disclosure. I think that's important, and see, you know, kind of go from there. But I wouldn't worry about it until you get to that point. Just stay focused on what you're doing. And I've done that. I've worked with, it's sort of like working for multiple agencies or, you know, same thing. You know, I've done it before where I've worked for a couple different companies. The tough part sometimes, depending on what you're doing, the difficult part can be to be creative. And for these, if you're writing blog posts, for example, to be creative enough to have enough material to help them create blog posts that are unique and independent of each other, that aren't along the same line. And that can be challenging. I hope that helps. Awesome. 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 Well, thanks, guys. This has been great. I really, really am grateful that all of you came with questions. I'm grateful that that you've been really active in the chat and sharing your thoughts and asking questions. It's great. It makes it valuable for everyone on the call and anyone who might be listening to the recording afterward. So I'm going to ask my final question of you, and I'd love to hear what your top action item is for the coming week or so. It doesn't have to be anything that we talked about today necessarily. Just what are you going to focus on in the next week? To take you to the next, move your business along and get you through the program. Anything that's your top action item. Would love to hear about that. And we still have time for another question. If you have one, feel free to post that. But I'd like to, if we're done with questions, I'd like to wrap up with action items and just hear what you've got going on and what you're planning. All right, Allison, hey, create some buckets of prospects. Absolutely. Breaking it down will help you to kind of step back and look at it a little differently and decide. And this is trial and error to a certain extent, Allison, where you're saying, okay, I'm going to reach out to a couple of small companies, a couple of medium-sized companies, a couple of bigger ones, and see what happens. Step back and see what happens, see what kind of response you get. And you're going to figure out quickly within a short amount of time, like, you know what, I think I'm not going to call on the smaller ones yet so much. I'm not going to focus on them. I'm really going to focus on this midsize. Maybe that's it's more of a sweet spot. You're going to find that. But take your time with it and see what happens. You want to go at it with a, let's test this. Let's see how this works. And hopefully that'll help to streamline the amount of time you're spending. Charlene's is complete session 8 and continue with warm emails. Hopefully land a client. Yeah. Awesome. Crystal says she's sending out 10 warm emails out within the week. Great. Some great goals, you know, some very specific goals to reach. Beth says, update my LinkedIn profile and look for 3 to 5 possible prospects for my first warm emails. Hey, sounds great. Thanks so much for sharing those. I appreciate it. I want to encourage all of you to use the Facebook group for questions during the week in between these calls. Don't be shy. Post your questions. Let us help you. Let Ed and I support you. Ed is actually on vacation with his family this week. Lucky guy. He's visiting family and doing some touring. So he'll be back next week. But he and I are always checking the Facebook group to make sure that we've got you covered. So don't hesitate to use the group. I want to encourage you all to do that. Use it actively so that we can support you as you continue to go through the program. So great call today, folks. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for participating. And I look forward to seeing you guys all on Facebook really soon. Have a great rest of your week.